We're talking with Josh Marks, who's with the Corps of Engineers. He's the Natural Disaster Program Manager, and we certainly hope that he doesn't have any managing of natural disasters to do this year on the Missouri River. But we're going to talk a lot about the Missouri River and the spring flood forecast, but also we have some Corps of Engineers lakes that fall into the Kansas City District, and they're important to retain water, to control flooding, and to control some of the other things that happen on downstreams, especially on the Osage River as it runs through the central part of our state. Josh, you've been with the Corps of Engineers 7 years?
I've been with the Corps of Engineers since 2000.
Okay. 14 years?
Yeah, 14 years. Okay. I've done a variety of different things with the Corps.
Well, give me an idea of what a natural disaster program manager does.
Well, really, it's preparing for disasters, and then ultimately responding for disasters, and then finally recovering from those disasters after they occur. So right now we're in the preparation phase. We're looking at, getting ready for the spring floods that are coming up. And as we saw in 2011 with Joplin, too, we're also there to provide support should there be a tornado or something and FEMA were to call on us.
The outlook, let's talk first of all about the Missouri River, because that's the one that runs through a good part of our state, forms part of our border. In 2011, we had a very bad flood on the Missouri River, and part of that was because of the snow melt upstream, but part of it also was because of the heavy rains we had in some parts of the stem system of the Missouri River below the last of the storage reservoirs. So let's talk about how we balance the flow of the water in the Missouri River that comes through the state of Missouri.
Well, every year our division, Northwestern Division, they're operating the main stem reservoirs for that flood control capacity. And in the last few years, since 2011, we've been in a state of more of a drought type phase. So the reservoirs are actually shaping up really good in the upper portion of our basin. They're low. What I'll tell you is that there is a lot of snowpack out there right now in the mountains. But to kind of mitigate that or to counter that, there's very little to no plain snowpack. So we're expecting a little bit higher than average runoff through the main stem reservoirs. But we're not looking at a scenario like 2011. What we're looking at is something that's going to be very typical for Missouri. We're looking at thunderstorms, big thunderstorms like a couple weeks ago. We actually jumped into flood stage on some of the smaller tributaries, smaller rivers in the area. So we're looking at that. We're going to be always vigilant and watch for those systems that come through. But we're not anticipating that the main stem reservoirs will be providing that flow like they did in 2011.
You've kept the main stem reservoirs drawn down enough during the winter that they can handle the snow belt that comes into them.
Yeah, that's right. They manage it according to the master manual, and there's quite a few trigger points in there and how they manage it. But quite honestly, they've been looking at dry conditions, and it's been a drought type scenario.
Has navigation season started on the Missouri yet?
I believe they just are starting to move towards the navigation season. It's going to be a little limited up front for the first check-in. The flows are going to be a little bit reduced, but then they should go to full operation later on in the season.
As soon as the snow begins to run into the reservoirs, you can pump that water further downstream.
Yes.
Our closest reservoir is basically on the Iowa-South Dakota border. Is that a close way to describe it?
Yeah, that's a good way to describe it.
Gavin's Point. And that's the key one that is the last of the staged flood control systems that we have.
That's correct.
So anything that happens below Gavin's Point in terms of heavy rains and the floods that occur on the smaller streams flowing into the Missouri, you folks really can't control that kind of thing, except you can avoid having even more water flow in.
Yeah, we do have 18 lakes in the Kansas City District that are maintained and operated by our staff in the Kansas City District. So we do have some capacity in those lakes to help flood fight. And actually, I say some capacity. We have full flood control capacity, and 99% of that's available for this upcoming season. And that's typical. That's where we want to be at this point of the season. But you're right. If there's a big system that comes through and it can't be captured by these lakes and one of those riverine systems, then that's where the flooding concerns start to occur.
That was a situation in 2011, and for I guess to some degree.
2011 was really, really it was peculiar in the fact that it was mainly the high flow that was coming from Gavin's, and we were really fortunate because if you recall in 2011 we put out products that said a high flow scenario and a low flow scenario and where the flooding would be. Those products helped a lot of people, but that high flow scenario Five out of the last 7 years, we'd had flood fights, floods, and some pretty severe floods. But had the high flow scenario played out, it would have been a similar scenario to some of those other years where we got a lot of rainfall. We were quite fortunate in 2011 that the rainfall didn't necessarily amount to that much. It was all upper basin and just the extreme amount of snow melt, rainfall, all culminated to filling up the reservoirs and causing high releases. So we were lucky.
It's been 3 years now since that flood. Are you still making repairs to levees and other features on the river?
Happy to say that the 2011 levee rehab is complete. Now, we're still doing some work in the navigation channel for some of the structures. That work's ongoing, and they have contracts out right now with that work that's proceeding. As far as 2013, there were some lesser events in 2013, but actually in this neck of the woods down Jeff City area, 2013, we did have pretty significant flows, and we had some overtoppings, we had a few breaches, the river got high, and then there was a lot of localized precipitation, so a lot of the tributaries coming into the river, so the levees were really vulnerable at the tie-ins, or where they tie back into the bluffs, and we had some breaches. We still have about 9 levee rehab efforts going on that are from Jeff City down to St. Charles area, but we feel like where we're at with that levee rehab effort, they're either flood fightable or they're going to be completed before the spring floods come. So we're in good shape. And all the levees that were rehabbed in 2011, anytime the Corps goes in there and starts doing rehab on the levees, or the local sponsor or the levee districts do their own rehab, anytime you get in there and get better compaction, you repair a levee, it makes it more resilient. And anytime you touch a levee, it performs better in the next flood event. So we feel like we're in a good situation with where the levees are at.
You raised an interesting issue in something you just mentioned, because I think to most folks, a levee is a levee is a levee. But there are core levees. There are other kinds of levees that are run by levee districts or local sponsors, and they often don't quite reach as high or offer the kind of protection that core levees do. Is that correct?
There's two kinds of levees in our program. So there's federal levee systems, which were designed, constructed by the Corps of Engineers, but then they're turned over to the local sponsor or the levee district. And then there's the non-federal levees, and those are locally constructed, locally, oftentimes not even designed, pretty much not even designed. They were just constructed locally. A farmer pushed up a mound of dirt and eventually works it into a levee, 50, 60, 70 years old in the Missouri floodplain. Those, we don't know how they were constructed, but we do have a program that's available should they get damaged, and they go through our program where we inspect them on an annual basis or every other year, depending upon the circumstances. But we'll inspect them, make sure they're to the right criteria, and then should they get damaged, then they're eligible for rehab assistance. So it's always a benefit to get into our program for the non-federals. The federals are naturally in our program. They also are inspected. But then there's that other type of levee that is a privately owned and not in our program. And there's a lot of those levees out there. Some of the regulations and requirements don't allow these levees to get in our program. Either they're not locally sponsored, they don't have an entity that sponsors them, or they're not a levee board with those authorities to sponsor a levee, or they don't tie to high ground, or they tie to another levee. Those types of levees, they typically don't get into our program because of those shortcomings to based on our regulations. So there's a lot of levees out there. The federal levees are typically the big levees that you're going to see on the river. The non-federal levees are going to be a little bit smaller in stature, though there are a lot non-federal levees out there that are quite high and provide quite a level of protection. It just depends on how they were built initially. So
were very many of these levees improved or strengthened since the 2011 flooding?
We try and keep up with the work that they do. These are all private levees, so they're in our program, but they can go out there and do the work themselves. I know some of the levees up north, they're putting a little bit of resiliency features on them, building them a little bit higher. But we don't notice that until we go out and inspect them. So they're always trying to incorporate betterments for levee systems, maintaining them, making sure the vegetation's off of them, doing things to make sure that they'll perform in the next flood event.
Some concern, as I recall, in the past years has been expressed, especially by some of the smaller local levee districts, that the financing that they have behind them really doesn't let them do a whole lot to make something stronger.
It's difficult. Now, bear in mind, these levees have been around, 50, 60, 70 years. The levee sponsors or levee districts, they may be were formed 20, 30, 40 years ago with in relation to these levees, maybe even earlier. So sometimes those the taxing of the behind the levees, they haven't been updated in years. So what was taxed at a certain rate may not be enough to maintain those levees at today's rate. So those are always challenges. That's something that the districts are aware of. There's some of the things that the levee districts are doing nowadays are they're trying to merge and make their systems bigger. The larger the system, the more money behind in acreage and the more power that they have to be able to maintain and then also repair. The non-federal levees, if they're damaged, they pay 20% to have them repaired. So the federal government pays 80, they pay 20%. The federal levees, they maintain them to a certain standard, but those are rehabbed at 100% federal should they be damaged.
Well, let's cut to the chase. What are we looking for on the Missouri River this year?
We're looking at an average year. We're going to continue to watch what the weather system does. Like I said, our lakes are shaping up good. The main stem reservoirs are shaping up good. We're looking at high likelihood that we're going to see minor flooding on the Missouri River. Looking at a likelihood we might see some moderate flooding. Hopefully we don't see that major flooding similar to 2011, but we're always going to be ready for that. And there's nothing we can do should a big system come through and dump 5, 10, 15 inches of rain in a given weekend. So that's
what you aren't looking at, I suppose, is the kind of record flood we had in 2011, or for that matter, for those of us who've been around a long time, in 93, when the water came up, stayed up, and in some places ran really fast when it got past the levees and caused an awful lot of damage. That's not the kind of thing you're looking at.
We're not looking at that, but we're preparing for it. You just never know. When you're in Missouri and you're on the Missouri River, historically it flooded at different times. But no, we're not looking at that this year. But I could come back and talk to you, you know, in June, and all of a sudden we're talking about the long historic flood fight that of 2014. So we're planning for it, but we're not expecting it.
What kind of assets does the Corps of Engineers have in the Kansas City District? If there's a flood, what do you mobilize in terms of hardware and things like that?
That's a good question. We maintain a supply of flood fight inventory. We have HESCO Bastion, which is a large 4-foot wall that you can put up, easily deployable, something that would be quick. We have sandbags. We have 4.1 million sandbags that are available, and we keep these at all of our lake project offices. So I told you we have 18 lakes. Each one of them has a stockpile of flood fight materials. Our primary one, though, in Missouri is going to be the Napoleon Field Office. It's right on the river. It's centrally located, and it's a great place for us to keep a lot of our stockpile. The 4.1 million sandbags, we feel like that's enough sandbags. In 2011, for instance, we went through about 2.1 million sandbags. We also have the ability to procure more should we get into a flood fight, and 4.1 isn't enough. But we have large sandbags. Some of the operations that we did in 2011, working with the Missouri National Guard, dropping the 4-ton sandbags, the big sandbags. We have some of those. We have sandbag machines. We have a local company in Shawnee, Kansas, developed a state-of-the-art sandbag machine, and we've purchased a couple of them from them. 30 to 35 sandbags a minute. It works really well. St. Joseph, Missouri used it pretty much nonstop for a couple weeks and filled, I can't recall exact numbers, but it was mind-boggling how many sandbags they filled at 24 hours a clip. But 30 to 35 sandbags a minute will quickly inundate a crew of 10 people. So you really need a good crew out there and need to backfill. So fortunately, that's not a limiting factor anymore. Using a shovel, it's the limiting factor is mobilizing the sandbags after they're filled. So we keep those on hand. And then we also have the ability to procure and lease sandbag machines should we run out of our own. But all of these resources that we have, the way the federal government works is, first of all, if there's a flood that occurs, a minor flood, you're looking at the locals. The locals are out there flood fighting. And the locals are always lead that effort, whether it's the county EM or the levee district or the city, whoever it is. They're leading the efforts. We're always supplemental to those efforts. So you got the locals, and then if the locals are overwhelmed, then they go to the state, and the state will provide all the resources that they have to push towards that flood fight. And some of the things that the state did during 2011 was coordinating prisoner support. They helped sandbag. They did a lot of work up in St. Joe and up in Holt County area filling those sandbags. So the state will provide that extra resource pushing that, coordinating with the Corps. And then if the state doesn't have that resource available, that's where the Corps comes in. So we're supplemental to state and local efforts, but we do provide these flood flight materials, and we provide a lot of technical assistance as well. Oftentimes, the local levee districts, they won't necessarily have a problem with the resource, but they may not know how to go about flood fighting a particular structure or things of that nature. So we'll have our engineers go out there and provide that technical assistance that will show them engineering the sound methods of flood fighting.
Where do you get your sand?
Oh, I tell you, one of the things that's nice about the Missouri River floodplain is that it's full of sand. So pretty much all of the sand, we provide the sandbags, we provide the sandbag machines, but the locals are responsible for finding the material that goes into those sandbags. There's the sand dredging that occurs up and down the river. There's also a lot of pit mining that goes on. So typically sand's not a resource that's tough to come by. I know in 2011 it was a little difficult at times, but the nice thing is the sandbag machine that we have doesn't necessarily need to use sand. It can use any fine material as well. So sand is just preferable for the weight, the gradation, and that type of stuff. So,
what's wrong with just putting dirt in the sandbags?
You could do that, but the dirt is going to be less weight to it, and it will saturate, whereas the sand won't saturate. So,
and you can mobilize all of this equipment and all of this material really quickly if you need to.
Yes, we can. We have 24-hour support line in Kansas City, so if the state needs assistance, they'll just need to call our line. We try to respond to all calls within 5 minutes, and that could be at 3 a.m. or it could be, you know, at any given time. Sometimes at 3 a.m. it's a little difficult, but we're available. We get back to them, and then we mobilize our team as necessary. So,
I recall a couple of years, well, in 2011, the Corps really made a special effort to step up its communications, not only with people in the media, but with the communities, even on a weekly basis and more often. Is that critically important to the Corps' mission, is to make sure that you're communicating with all the people along the river who are going to face this possibility?
Absolutely. The communication is number one. Safety is the biggest priority that we have during a flood fight, so getting that message out. We need you to push out the message to the communities. Oftentimes, we don't have that capability. So having the media, having the local officials, having the state officials, everybody plays a role in communicating the message of safety and what's taking place out there, where to avoid, things that need to be done. So moving forward, we did have our stakeholder calls. We'll continue that. If it's a regional flood fight with the Omaha District, at the same time, it'll be merged, similar to 2011. But if it's something that's just the Kansas City district, we've been doing that for years, where we have stakeholder calls. For the public that wants to participate on those, we put them all on our webpage afterwards. So everybody will be able to hear the message that we're pushing out, the question and answer, and then any interviews that we do afterwards as well. So that's critical. In 2011, we did a number of public meetings as well, pretty much at the request of any city, local, county government. If they want us to come out there and talk, we're going to come out there and talk. It's always about getting that message out. So,
how many core district offices have an impact on Missouri? I mean, you and Omaha and St. Louis, Paducah?
We have Rock Island.
Rock Island, Illinois.
Rock Island District.
Upper Mississippi.
Yep, and then we've got Memphis District.
Memphis, that's what I was thinking of, for the lower Mississippi.
Yep.
St. Louis.
Yeah. And St. Louis and Little Rock. So we've got a lot going on in Missouri.
Do you very often have to coordinate among all of these offices at one time, or is it very rare that we have conditions that require that kind of thing?
The conditions on the Missouri River is typically going to be Omaha and Kansas City. On the Mississippi River, you're going to have those other districts that are involved. But if there's a coordination effort, the Corps likes to kind of make things as efficient as possible for the state. So the Kansas City district is the lead district for the state of Missouri. So if, for instance, SEMA doesn't know who to request a resource from, they can come to us and we'll coordinate it. So we always try and cut the tape, the bureaucratic tape, so to speak, with that one-stop shop to the Corps, Kansas City District for the state of Missouri. So,
do you often, in the Kansas City office, have to work with the St. Louis office and the Memphis office? Because what comes past your office is going to wind up down at Memphis sooner or later.
Absolutely. And, yeah, we have a great working relationship with the other districts. We meet with them quite frequently. Actually, St. Louis District has provided a lot of support. They did provide a lot of support in 2011 after the flood. They helped us with a lot of our rehab efforts. And consequently, last year, we provided technical resources back to their rehab efforts that occurred on the Mississippi River flooding that occurred last year. So, yeah, we got great coordination that goes on between the districts.
And how many lakes? You said you had 18 lakes in the system or in the district. How many of those lakes are in Missouri?
Nine, yes. Yeah, we have nine in Missouri.
And are they all flood control lakes?
No, they all provide a flood control portion of their authorized purposes.
Yeah, I suspect people are most familiar with Truman Lake and Lake of the Ozarks, which is a private lake, but nonetheless, it's still flood control on the Osage River.
Lake of the Ozarks is not a core lake.
Yeah.
So it's Truman and Table Rock is. It's outside of our district, but most of the lakes that you see out there, not all of them, but the larger lakes, those are typically going to be core lakes. So
you're ready to go?
Yep, I think so.
As ready as can be when you're dealing with Mother Nature.
As ready as we can be. Actually, just last week we had what we called Mr. Flex. It was a Missouri River flood exercise, and we took place. It was a two-day exercise we did in our district office. Got all the technical leads, and we went through some scenarios and products that we use, and we have a new commander on board, so we're trying to get him spun up on how we operate, and I thought it was a great exercise, and we're as ready as we can be, so just hopefully Mother Nature will play a hand and give us a good deck of cards this year. So.
Final question. I know after the 2011 flood, there was some work that had to be done on some of the dams upstream because they took a lot of stress and a lot of beating. All of our dams in this reservoir system and all of the dams on the lakes that you folks are working on are in tip-top shape.
They're in excellent shape. And, one of the things that's fortunate for us is if there is any deficiencies, we can throw the house at it if we need to. There's stockpiles ready. There's contingency plans in place. But, the dams, they operated the way they were supposed to in 2011, and any of the damages that have occurred, they're either rehabbed or being rehabbed, and feel very confident that moving forward, they're going to continue to perform.
We've been talking to Josh Marks, who's the Natural Disaster Program Manager for the Kansas City District of the Corps of Engineers. Josh, I hope we don't have to talk to you again for the rest of the summer.
Well, it's been a pleasure, and I wouldn't mind it either.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
You can have that back.
All right.
Excellent.
Good.